This is the Thursday edition of the Bet the Board podcast, the Thursday night game tonight featuring Kansas City on the road at Oakland. Of course, we'll get to an extensive preview of that one in just a matter of minutes. The man on the other end of the line, he of PayneInsider.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at PayneInsider. Payne, I'm just happy we could pull you away from daytime college basketball action to talk a little NFL.
Jim Larrañaga has broke out the box and won in November, so it's pretty interesting to see right now.
Everyone knows you pull out all the stops when you play the Drexel Dragons on a neutral court in the first round at the College of Charleston Classic or whatever the hell they're calling that tournament these days.
It's pretty interesting to see. It really is.
Huh. I'm your co-host, Todd Furman. You can find my work on my website, toddstake.com, and follow me on Twitter, at Todd Furman. And Payne, as we look towards the Week 12 NFL schedule, some interesting matchups, and we've seen some curious movement as well. I guess we may, at this point, start at the top of the board when you look at the Cleveland Browns. We hit on this game a bit on Monday. We've seen most books hold three, minus $1.15, minus $1.20 with Atlanta the short favorite, but we have seen a sharp book offshore tick as high as 3.5 on this one. Total been bet up from 46.5 out to 47.
Yeah, I think you always have to be cognizant of monitoring certain sports books and the type of players that they deal to. And there's been some speculation that there will be some sharp money on the dog. I know the math guys made Atlanta a little larger favorite. We've talked about the boys playing for Mike Smith. Julio Jones is a question mark, but I think he plays. Josh Gordon, I think he plays as well. And I think he's going to be a factor here. We saw him last year in a similar spot, first game back, where he was a factor. I don't think this guy's just hanging out on the couch, eating Twinkies and gargling Yoo-hoo. I think he's going to be in shape. And I totally agree with the move towards the over in this game, especially when you talk about Cleveland potentially being without their defensive leader in Carlos Dansby.
Yeah, before we slide off of this game, I want to know the last time that you decided to guzzle a bottle of Yoo-hoo down there in South Florida.
It's been a while.
All right. I just wanted to check. Maybe there are more Yoo-hoo drinkers up in Philadelphia where the Eagles are taking on the Titans. The Eagles, a double-digit favorite in this game, laying 11, total held steady all week long at 48.5. Payne, when I look at this game, I want to make a case for a double-digit dog like always, but I can't. Philadelphia embarrassed last week against Green Bay. A short week for the Titans, who have to feel a little bit gutted knowing how that last 8 minutes unfolded at LP Field against the Steelers. For me, this is a look at Philadelphia, or one that I don't want to tangle with it whatsoever.
Yeah, it's going to be a game that I'm not going to touch. I kind of talked about this last week. Sanchez, now that there's some film on him, now that there's film on him in this new offense, things changed a lot last week, and that's why, even though it was pretty square, I liked Green Bay. Tennessee, really last hoorah on national television. Now what are you playing for here? Short week, traveling. So that's my concern. Tennessee's defense just looks really, really bad at this stage in the game. And so when you get a team like Tennessee, really, really put in effort on Monday Night Football, and the season's lost at this point, this could be one of those games where they just don't show up at all.
Wouldn't shock me in the least. I think he makes some interesting points about the Titans and what they're going to be faced with moving forward. But from a game, I guess, where one team is headed in one direction and the other just playing out the stretch, the two teams right now fighting for not only playoff seeding but for division supremacy. New England clearly in the driver's seat for the AFC East at this point. A 7-point favorite against the Detroit Lions. Total in this game at 48. And we chronicled some of the struggles Detroit has had as a road underdog with Matt Stafford at the helm in recent meetings.
Yeah, I think that's why you've seen this move, obviously. Open 6, now 7. It will be interesting come game day if professionals have an appetite for this Detroit Lions team. The only question mark is Matt Stafford on the road. New England looked just unstoppable in a primetime game. You get them back home, everybody knows how well they are as an underdog of less than a touchdown at home, so that's been highly noted. So I think there could be some professional money here on Detroit at the right number. I believe the under is probably the solid play on this game, and I think the market will shift that way and dictate itself towards the under here.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. Obviously, you look at the Lions, and the first thing that comes to mind is Matt Stafford, Calvin Johnson, and this high-flying offense. Do you think books have adjusted enough for the way the Lions are playing now, much more a defensive-minded football team than they are that high-flying offense they've been in recent years?
Yeah, I think so, and I think we've seen it specifically on the road where Stafford just does not seem to function well on the road. When you get him away from that dome, he's a different quarterback. And that's really where the struggles have come from the quarterback position. He seems to routinely do less with more, and that's really the issue here for this Detroit offense. Obviously, we've talked about how well this defense is. And yeah, there's a couple stars on the defense, but overall, they just play well as a team. So New England, I think, potentially playing an unfamiliar opponent in the struggles, again, with Detroit's offense on the road, I think this makes for a decent underlook.
May as well keep it in the NFC North when you look at Green Bay taking their show on the road to Minnesota. Green Bay will call it a consensus 9.5-point favorite now, total 48.5. A bit of uncharted territory, so to speak, for the Vikings, who are only a double-digit home dog for the fourth time since 1980. The last time this happened was on October 23rd, 2011, taking on these same Green Bay Packers. They covered in a 33-27 loss. Clearly not playing in the confines of a dome, a little bit of a different dynamic. But can we make a case here to back the Vikings as a interdivisional home dog catching nearly double digits in this particular spot?
I mean, that's the way professionals are going to look. When we talk about double digits at home, conference game, with revenge, Minnesota was embarrassed on a national TV Thursday night game against this Green Bay team earlier in the year. They didn't have all their weapons with them. But since that opening Falcons game, Teddy Bridgewater hasn't looked that great. We've talked about Green Bay's defense improving leaps and bounds every week. So my number is right where this is. You're looking at that 10 range of where my number is. So I'm not running to bet it, but I think we will see professional money, obviously, on the dog here at some point.
Any thoughts on the total sitting at 48.5, knowing how talented and clicking on all cylinders Green Bay's offense has been of late, and talking about the uptick in defensive performance? But I guess when you're hanging 50 on your opponents, it's real tough to make a case to go under a posted total.
Yeah, you know, you're going to have a little weather here. Green Bay's offense, to me, hasn't been as good on the road. The defense, again, has shown that uptick. Minnesota's offense hasn't been great. For me, I don't see a ton on the total. I made it right around this number, 49. Is where I made it. So nothing where I'm just going to go and run and look at this total at all.
It makes total sense, and I think when you look at this particular matchup, as you said, the professional is obviously going to gravitate towards the home dog here, but can Minnesota really keep up? Maybe your beloved Ben Tate is the guy that helped get them into the end zone, the newly acquired Cleveland retread at this point up north. And when you talk about games that are real interesting, maybe giving us a better idea of exactly where two different franchises are headed. Houston, let's call them a 1.5-point favorite for argument's sake, as they play host to the Bengals playing their second straight road game. Total in this game, 43.5-44 I'm seeing out there. Ryan Mallett, pretty impressive in his debut against Cleveland. As we talk about at great lengths, though, it's how the rookie quarterbacks, I shouldn't say rookie, how unproven quarterbacks perform when film starts to get out there, not necessarily in game one, but in games 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, that's the question mark, is what is Ryan Mallett? Huge, huge arm. Really talented. I'm just not sure the elevator makes it all the way to the top floor with him sometimes, so that's kind of the concern moving forward.
Sometimes the elevator makes it to the top floor. I was going to go about 8% of the time, but you know, we're not here to judge.
So, you know, that's obviously the concern with Houston here, but if you get Arian Foster back, the way they've been running the ball, Cincinnati just hasn't been able to stop it. As great as Cincinnati looked last week, I know everybody will try to rally the troops and say, hey, Cincinnati's turned it around, but just not a fan of the coaching staff. I'm really, really not. And so for me, I made this right where it is. I made it Houston -1.5 in this spot. So not a ton of value either way. Gun to head, slightly into Houston.
Yeah, I would agree here. I don't think there's a situation that benefits either of these particular teams. When we talk about trying to find intangibles that oftentimes aren't built into the number, I don't think there's a case to be made for any of those coming into effect here in this particular matchup. Jets-Buffalo, I don't even think we waste our breath on this particular game, only because of the weather and so much uncertainty in Western New York. We're not quite sure where the game will be played, and of course, if it does unfold on Monday, we'll be sure to cover it on that edition of the podcast. But Tampa and Chicago, we talked about this game on Monday. I know you had some interesting thoughts. Bears, a 5.5-6-point favorite. We've seen some interesting moves on this game. Got as high as 6.5. There was resistance. And you've also seen money come in on the under from 47.5, 48 on the open to a 46 painted across the screen right now.
Yeah, the game's been doing some moving. From everything that I know, is, you know, a lot of people would love to take seven in this game, so there's going to be some maneuvering with the side, and we've seen it a little bit tick back up to 6.5, and as soon as it gets there, there's no holding the market there. So I'm not sure where this finally closes, but you know, professionals are looking to take Tampa here. For me, nothing on the total. Got to be cognizant of the weather this time of year, but really, when you get Josh McCown and Lovie Smith, they have something to play for here in this game. Clearly, going back to Chicago, both guys sent packing. So this will mean a lot for Tampa Bay, team that has not quit. So for me, it's dog or nothing in this spot.
Well, when you talk about feared dynamic duos in the NFL, there's nothing more than Josh McCown and Lovie Smith that'll put the fear of God into their opponents, unlike Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. So I can definitely see your case being made for Tampa. but I would agree with you. In this particular spot, the Bears laid 3 to the Minnesota Vikings last week. This price looks a little bit inflated. I wouldn't make Minnesota a 3-point favorite on a neutral, I don't think, at this point, over Tampa, given their current form. A game that I think is going to attract a lot of interest, Payne, from, you know, it has, as far as the radio circles and the guys that I talk to, everyone wants to know why Arizona, despite their outstanding start and tremendous record, a 6.5-point underdog for their trip up to the Pacific Northwest to take on Seattle, a game that, in my opinion, trending towards 7, and I think that's where it ends up closing on Sunday.
Yeah, I think Seattle's the clear-cut side here. We've been looking to fade Arizona for a while now, and we haven't been able to with some change in the quarterback things. The 1 week we do fade them, we had the Rams in the right position, just didn't unfold the way we wanted to late. But I think this is a great spot here for Seattle. Their season, not only when you talk about the division, at this point the division might be lost, but it will certainly be lost with a loss here. But they really need to get a couple wins just to potentially sneak in with a wild card. So this is a game where Seattle needs to circle it. It needs to be that momentum swing for their season. And I think it's Seattle or nothing here. Obviously, it's going to be a great teaser leg as well if you can find another spot on the board. But I like Seattle here, and I agree with you. I think it closes in that 7 range.
Yeah, I think Seattle, definitely a later, don't play it type game. A big week for the Seahawks, who will also come back on short rest on Thanksgiving to take on the San Francisco 49ers. So we'll get a much better idea of where Seattle is at coming off that loss against Kansas City. And Payne, what you've done so well all season long is talk about the Miami Dolphins right there in your backyard. A real intriguing game all of a sudden as Denver has struggled a bit. You're looking at the Broncos now, a 7-point favorite. That number has come down from 8 where it opened. We've also seen money on the under earlier today. Total 49s officially all gone from the market, albeit aside from a few places in Vegas. 47.5 and 48, more so the consensus at this point.
Yeah, I don't think you really want to go into a shootout with Peyton Manning. So I think Miami will have that game plan where they really try to implement things on the ground. The defense is just spectacular. And Miami will throw some different packages at you with their defensive line. They've added this 2-5 speed rush, so to speak. So they do a lot of great things on defense. Coyle is a wizard with the secondary. So, and when you look at the other side of the ball, Denver has a lot of parts that are just beat up. So that's partly why this has dropped. Emmanuel Sanders looks like he's out. You're now in a third-string running back. Julius Thomas, I think he's going to give it a go despite the ankle issue. So those are some of the concerns here. I'd love to be on Miami in this spot. I did make it a touch lower, but this is really a tough spot for them. I know they've really dominated on the road against the spread. Miami is a team you absolutely want to look to when they're on the highway. But Denver, coming off an embarrassing loss, finally back home, I think they can get some things right. And when you talk about when they win games, they usually do so by vast margins of 7 or more. So not a game I am running to bet, but I think Miami, if you had to use them in your pools, is probably the way to look.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, though, when you look at the Broncos, they've definitely thrived in the bounce-back scenario. 7-1 straight up and against the spread after a straight-up loss during the Manning regime. But as you talk about, Payne, Miami has definitely made folks money as road underdogs, and so many injury concerns for the Broncos that'll change the way you're handicapping this game on Saturday and Sunday versus when we record the podcast right now. Did almost want to get your thoughts on Washington and San Francisco, but I refuse to acknowledge the existence of RG3 and what he means in the NFL, so I think we may need to pass that game and shift focus to a very intriguing game on Sunday night, one that I think we're going to see a huge divide between the pros and the Joes, so to speak. Dallas, a 3-point favorite. We'll call them minus $1.25, essentially 3.5 with juice if you were to go that way and buy off that number. Total on this one, 47.5. The Giants continue to be a favored side of the professionals, but have not been that great about getting the cash.
Yeah, and we talked about this earlier in the week, and I think it's Giants or nothing. Last week, when you talk about how the Giants performed, I thought they were pretty good. Again, outside of Eli Manning, 5 interceptions, they were right in that game, depending on the number you got. You know, the Giants were just right there the entire way. I think this is a big game for them. I think it's national TV. It's a rival, so you're going to get an effort from the Giants. The cold weather here is going to be interesting. I know Romo's had that extra week, but it will be interesting with the cold weather and his back to see how that goes. I think this continues to climb. We do see 3.5s now in the market, and then we've seen these juiced threes, as you've mentioned. But for me, it's Giants or nothing. It really is at this stage. I'm not looking to play Dallas on the road here.
I think you talk about a Giants team who did fight tooth and nail. Game very competitive when they played in Dallas. Of course, a late field goal from Dan Bailey. Burn Giant backers that were able to get the best of the number at 7. But for a team who appears destined to be done after their 16 regular season games, you look for a chance to rally the troops, and in prime time against a divisional rival, I have absolutely no argument with you, Payne. I think the Giants can rise up and treat this occasion like a special game, and we've seen teams struggle out of the bye week. Wonder how Dallas will perform in the first half of that one.
Yeah, that's kind of always the question mark. I know a lot of people run and bet teams on bye weeks. What we've seen now is a little bit of a slow start for some of those teams. The way the new CBA is designed, these guys are not out there practicing and getting an extra 2 weeks in, really. They're more so just getting rest on their bodies, and who knows what they're doing at home in the luxuries and confines of their own home. So it's not like they're out there practicing and getting extra reps and focusing on the game plan, really, for a full 2 weeks due to that new CBA.
That is for sure. And just to kind of reset for the listeners, the man on the other end of the line, he of PainInsider.com. You can see his great work at that same website, and you can also follow him on Twitter at PainInsider. I'm Todd Furman. Follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman and Payne. We had one real good question that come in using the hashtag AskBetTheBoard this weekend. I think definitely plays a role as we move into the dog days of winter around this fine country. And it comes from James Davies, using the Twitter handle at JDSH Handicapping. Does bad weather cause an overreaction in betting markets and actually make the over a sharp play from time to time?
I think it's definitely happened in the past where you see overreactions in the betting markets due to weather. It's just being really cognizant of the type of weather that matters. Wind is what you're looking for. Wind, especially a crossfield wind where both teams have to throw into that, so to speak. It's not really the snow. It's not really the rain. Both those things tend to cause turnovers, slick fields. And when you talk about slick fields, the offense has the clear-cut advantage, knowing where they're going in and out of their breaks, as opposed to defenders who do not know and they're just reacting. So the type of weather is what really influences totals, in my opinion. Look for wind specifically across the field and not so much snow and rain. The other thing is when you're talking about sides, this time of year you have teams potentially traveling to cold weather that play in domes, or teams from Miami going to play in freezing weather. So things like that you definitely have to factor into your number.
I think the biggest thing that comes out of all this is there's no blanket rule for what'll definitely impact an over, what'll definitely impact an under, but I think wind. You hit the nail on the head, Payne, talking about wind, and that becomes the one weather element that a lot of people seem to forget in terms of how it changes the game, not only field position, the special teams component of it, but teams that are looking to throw the ball. And when you don't have any fear that a ball will be able to go over your head throwing into, you know, crosswinds or major wind gusts, you put 8 in the box and you can force opponents to be one-dimensional. Of course, though, Payne, we would be remiss if we didn't do our due diligence and cover the game everybody came to listen for tonight, the huge showdown with the winless Raiders playing host to their AFC West rival, the Kansas City Chiefs. Total opened 43 down to 42.5, number at 7. And we've seen some real interesting line movement here. Obviously, the public coming in at about a 75% clip on the road favorite Kansas City Chiefs as they look to keep that impressive against the spread streak intact.
Yeah, I think this plays out similar to what we saw on Monday night. It's this Oakland Raiders team. They're 0-10. All they have heard about is that they're going to finish 0-16, and now you get a spot on national television. I think you are going to see a full effort here from the Oakland Raiders. They've done nothing since Tony Sperano's there to indicate that they're not going to show up. They could have easily quit on the road at Seattle, played a great second half. This team has fight. They have not quit. They're still playing. So you have to like that with your underdogs. When you look at this number and what some of the math guys threw out there, you know, it could potentially be a little short when you look at it from the math perspective. But all this talk about them going 0-16 and now they're on national TV, I think it makes for an interesting play. The defense has been capable this year. Right now they're struggling moving the ball. Hopefully Oakland can get a little bit of the ground game going. That's where Kansas City is very susceptible. So for me, it's take the points or pass, and I think the longer you wait, the better your number you'll get. You know, I'd love to get a normal juiced 7.5 here.
And when you look at this game, Payne, I know we've done more work, Bob, both you and I playing first half in some of these spots, more so with totals necessarily than sides. Would you make a case that there might be a little bit more value with Oakland if you're able to get them in that 4-4.5 range for the first half, more so for the full game, for just the reasons you talked about, maybe some inferior weaponry, knowing that Kansas City could have a little bit of firepower even without the services of Donnie Avery and A.J. Jenkins in the passing game?
You know, it's always a way to look if you think, you know, a team's going to come out fast. Obviously, if you're going first half, you know, get the 4.5. The hook's pretty important there. But for me, I think both sides have value first half and full game here. I really do. And again, we've seen this Oakland team really not give up. And they've shown that they're really trying to get Carr reps. They're trying to get him confidence. We've seen a number of times this year, whether it be the side or the total, come down in garbage time and plunk one into the end zone. So for me, that'll, you know, I like both plays here. I don't really think one has more value than the other. That's just me. Oakland's defense, the one thing this year is they've been very good and they're very aggressive, but the key here is not to be overly aggressive. We know what this Kansas City screen game can do to teams, and we saw it firsthand in this Kansas City-Oakland game last year. So if they're able to defensively kind of shut down the screen game for Kansas City, they're going to be in this game all night long.
That should be a fascinating watch, more so for some of the drama to see what will unfold with this Raiders team. Can they finally get off the schneid? Payne, always a pleasure. We will reconvene on Monday and we do our full extensive preview of a big game between Baltimore and New Orleans and potentially share with our lovely listeners what the holiday schedule will look like. Thanksgiving getting here quickly, and of course, I know I'll be parked in front of the TV, so not sure I'm going to want to hear your voice Thursday to record this podcast.
Leave it to you to end the podcast on that note.
Hey, I mean, you know, you want to leave the listeners with a laugh. I mean, half the time we're pretty sure they don't like either of us anyways. They just come for the information. So that is the name of the game. For Payne Insider, you can see his work, like we said, at PayneInsider.com or follow him on Twitter for some great nuggets throughout the course of the weekend across all sports. I'm Todd Furman. Follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman. Best of luck this upcoming weekend, week 12 in the NFL, and we'll be back on Monday with another edition of the Bet the Board podcast, where hopefully we'll be able to see you at the window.